Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
So, what we want to do, and Josue talked about it last week, and he talked about going to the mountain of the Lord and to experience his presence one day in his court is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And he was saying that the psalmist encountered God, something happened. To say that one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere, something happened in his courts, right? And so he was talking about making sure that we don't have any substitutes or that we don't have other things that we go to experience peace. And it's so easy for us to throw ourselves in different stuff from TV, activities, sports, work, and miss out on Jesus and to miss out on what God has for our hearts and for our lives. I'd like to continue with this thought this morning. If I resume my message this morning, is to say, God, open my eyes to Jesus. The reality of my life is that I can't even open my own eyes. I need God. I need God to move in my life. And the thing is, you might be here for the first time. You might be here since the beginning of the church. Or you've served the Lord for a long time. The last thing we want is to not see him. Or the last thing we want is to lose sight of him. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says to keep our eyes on the author and the finisher of our faith. And the call that we have is to keep our eyes on him. And it's not always easy to keep our eyes on him. There's so many distractions. There's so many pulls that wants our attention. There's so many voices that are yelling your name. Says, pick me, do this, do that. And we don't want to have our eyes on no one and on nothing else than Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. And he went to the cross so I can walk in freedom. And so my prayer this morning is that by the work of the Holy Spirit, we would have a desire for God to open our eyes. God, open my eyes. Open my eyes to Jesus. I look back at my journey, and we all have a journey. And I'm the first generation, was raised in a religious manner, in a religious setting. And for those that have been here for a while, you know about it. This is one of my first Bible. I read this. I was passionate about this book. I remember being a teenager. You know, I remember being in my room and reading the Word and wanting to understand what God wanted to say to me. And I remember going to a place structure in a playground and being on top where you have all the different, swings, but there was this little wooden bridge. I remember being on top of that little place and I was just sharing my faith. I was just talking to my friends about how Jesus was amazing and how Jesus was real. And I remember at 15, 16 years old and say, God, I want to serve you. What can I do? And what shall I do? I didn't know what to do. I wanted to serve him. And I remember going to Montreal, 10 hours away from our house, and wanted to learn from Scripture. And something happened to me when I was young, is my eyes were open to Jesus. It rocked me, changed everything, you know? And I believe it's what we need in our lives. I look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. It talks about the church of Ephesus. And it talks about this church that did good stuff but lost its first love. 30 years gap. That's the first church 30 years later. I've been a pastor here for 20 years. So time flies, but 30 years is not a lot when you think about it, right? You think about the Laodicea church. For those, some of you say 30, yeah, that's old. But for those that are a little older, it goes fast. You'll see the older you get, the faster the time seems to go. But you have this church in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, that had lost their first love. First church, wow. Then in chapter 3, you see the Laodicean church where Jesus is outside of the church and he's knocking to go in. Like you look at this and see, they were poor, naked, and blind. And they needed Jesus, but Jesus was out. You know, when I look at this thought and this reality, I say, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes to Jesus. Revive in my heart a passion for him, a desire to see him being real in me. And the thing, like I said, there's so many different things that we get caught into, and there's a spiritual battle going over my head, and there's so many different things, like I said, that wants my attention. But what really, really matters the most as a believer is to have our eyes open to Jesus and to see Jesus just move us from the inside. It should never stop, right? Like when we look at revival, what is revival? Revival is when you see God in a different way, where you're in awe of him, where he catches your heart. Also, what is revival? Is when you're aware of your situation, you're aware of your need, and you call upon God because you realize you have sin and brokenness and you want to be rescued. Another thing that you find in the move of God is that you see the world, you see the state of the world, and you're broken for the state of the world, and you say like Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." So I believe that God wants to do a move in our church. And I believe that God wants to make a move in our region and wants to move upon our nation. And the key thing that needs to happen is to see God open our eyes, where we have a desire and we have a hunger and a strong desire to see our eyes open, where we say, God, open my eyes to you, open my eyes to my state, and open my eyes to the world. I remember this song, for those that are a little older, of Keith Green. Why is the church sleeping in the light? It always rocked me, that song, and I still listen to Keith Green because his songs were messages. And that song, to fall asleep in the light, you know? And he's calling the church, that is in the 70s, maybe early 80s, don't fall asleep in the light. And we don't want to see that. We don't want to fall asleep in the light. I look at Elisha when he saw the army of the Lord, when King Aram wanted to kill him. And then he prayed for his servant to have his eyes open, and he saw the angels of the Lord, right? His eyes were open to the glory of God. I think about the prodigal son when he had walked away from his father. He came to himself and his eyes were open. And he says, I've got to return to my father. He came to his senses where his eyes were open. I think about the two disciples after the resurrection of the Lord, where Jesus was walking with them on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus was talking, but they did not recognize him, but their heart was burning because the word was so alive. And then their eyes were open and he saw Jesus. I think about, this is a story, I think it's pretty cool and funny. In Mark chapter 8, verse 20, when Jesus healed this guy with putting some spit in his eyes, he brought him outside of the village, so he didn't want to make a show. And he spit in his eyes, and then this guy started to see people like trees. And then Jesus laid hand again on him, and then he recovered the sight. But I look at my journey, I think about sometimes, Lord, am I seeing people like trees? Am I seeing clearly? You know? Like, and if I share my heart to you, when I was out and with my ribs, we had a prayer summit, and I remember praying, inviting, I did the prayer summit, and I had different quotes from different men that were influenced by the move of God. And there was one quote that was, you want to see revival? Put a circle around yourself and say, God, change what is in the middle of the circle. And I remember being at home, and as I was not able to be here, I was doing the prayer summit with you, and I was making a circle, and I realized, God, I'm not desperate, you know? I'm not desperate for you to move in a circle. And I was looking at my state. I felt, yeah, I need to pray at the same time as you because I'm the pastor, but I'm at home, but I should be praying like you. But I should be wanting so desperately for you to move in the circle. So God, change my heart. Give me a desire for you. Give me a longing for you. And I believe this is what we really need. We need to see God move upon us. I like the story of John in chapter 4, where Jesus is talking with the Samaritan woman. And then her lifestyle was ungodly, and she was alone, and Jesus revealed her heart. And he told her that the water he had was life-giving. And she says, and he said to her, "You'll never have to come and drink again. I'll satisfy you." And then she said, "I want this water." And the story goes, she goes and gets her whole village to hear what Jesus had to say. And Jesus stayed a little longer. But his disciples were gone to get him lunch. And he comes back. And they're, I don't know what kind of food they had, but they had food. And Jesus said to his disciple, "I'm not hungry because I did the will of my Father. It satisfied me." And they're a little confused. And then he says to them, he says, 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe for harvest. Open your eyes. They were concerned about their food. They were concerned about that moment. And Jesus said, open up your eyes. The field are white. So when I look at this, I say, God, open my eyes up. Can you say that to your neighbor? Open my eyes, Lord. I want to give you... I want to go through John chapter 7, verse 37 to 44. Great story here, a great message of having our eyes on Jesus. It says, verse 37 from the NIV, "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.' By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that point, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, 'Surely this man is a prophet.' Others said, 'He is the Christ.' Still others asked, 'How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?' Thus the people were divided because of Jesus, and some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him." So here it says there's some people that recognize him and some people that didn't. But when you look at this story, it's a amazing event. It's called the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Feast of the Booths, or the Sukkot. What they did, for 7 days they had this festivity. So the Jews know how to party, right? 7 days of party. And so what they did to remember what God has done in their deliverance, they're celebrating God's faithfulness as they were leaving Egypt, and how God provided to their needs. And so they were focusing on thanking God for the rain that God blessed them in the present and also in the past. But they were remembering what God had done in the past, right? And so what happened is that people live in tents and or some portable housing and some booths. And so with the family, for 7 days, they lived like they did some camping. But not like some of you... Not like your RVs that you have, probably just a little tiny little shack, right? And so it was to remember the faithfulness of the Lord, right? And so the feast was a time of joyful celebration, remembering how God provided for Israel in the wilderness. Leviticus chapter 23:33. But each morning of the week, the high priest would take some water from the pool of Siloam. And it was a walk, so he walked with a procession, and they were singing and praising God. And what he did is he took some water, and he poured it on the altar. And he did that every morning. One of the main focus that the celebration has, it's giving thanks to God for his provision, but also for the water that God gave when they journeyed through the wilderness. They remember the rock, to remember the rock that followed them and gave them water. And so the priest would pour water and some wine. And the water symbolized God's provision. And the wine symbolizes joy when the Messiah shows up, but also symbolizes the blood. And so they did that every morning for 6 days. On the seventh day, they marched 7 times around the altar, as Joshua did at Jericho. And they cried out for salvation and for the coming of the Messiah. And this is when Jesus comes in play and he says, whoever is thirsty, come and drink. So what Jesus is saying is this fulfillment of this ritual. And when we look at the feast of the tabernacle, it focuses on providing water from the rock in the wilderness. And in Exodus chapter 16 and chapter 17, people were grumbling against Moses and the people were complaining. And Moses was afraid for his life. And so he cried to God, and God said to him in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1, he says, go and strike the rock. And he went and he struck the rock, and the water came out. And then we have Paul connecting the story of Exodus chapter 17, the rock that gave water. And you have to realize it was a lot of water. You're talking about more than the province of Manitoba. Imagine this, being in one location, needed a lot of water. So it was not a little creek. It was like a lot of water that came out from the rock. And Paul connects that rock to Jesus. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, they all ate the spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Jesus. So picture this. When Jesus says at that feast, whoever is thirsty, come and drink, he's referring to how God provided to them in the wilderness, saying, I'm that rock, and I'm still that source of water. If you're thirsty, if you want me in your life, and I will pour my spirit upon you. And when I read chapter 7 of John, it talked that Jesus needed to be glorified. But we know that Jesus was struck. We know that he was beaten, right? We know that the cross brought pain on Jesus. And when we look at Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for his transgression, he was crushed for iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we were healed. So what we find in this story is that Jesus is saying, hey, come to me. Come to me, experience me, and rivers will be gushing from your inner man. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. But that rock was beaten. And as I was preparing, I was saying, give me a picture, Lord. Open my eyes to the cross. What the cross brings. How the cross brings freedom. That I would be in awe of the work of the cross. It would resonate in my heart and bring me to a place of surrender and a place of thanksgiving and a place of wanting to see him take over our lives, right? And when we look at Numbers chapter 20, verse 1, Moses is experiencing something similar. So then the people are still complaining and still want to go back to Egypt. And God told them, go and talk to the rock. And Moses was upset at the people. And in Numbers 20, verse 1 to 13, instead of talking to the rock, he struck the rock twice. And God was not pleased. One of the reasons why he didn't go into the promised land was because of that, his disobedience. But I also think God, Father, knew that Jesus was going to be struck once. And why not twice? Once is enough. But what I thought was pretty interesting is he spoke to the rock, and the rock gave water. And I believe that's a message of the new covenant, that if you're thirsty and you want God in your life, he's going to respond to you. When we look at Jesus, that he's in that feast, and he says, whoever is thirsty, come and drink. Man, I want to come and drink, right? And I want to see him. I want to see him in my life. I want to see him in my family. I want to see him rock my life. Like, I remember being a teenager, and at that time, like, we did not know the Lord in a personal way. And the prayer meetings we had in our home, like, there was an altar for God. There was an altar for God. Like, there was a devotion for God. God was real. And I believe God wants to bring this. God wants to revive us with a passion for him, a desire for him, a hunger for his presence. And to see Jesus as the living water, my prayer was, as I was preparing, God, help me see Jesus as my living water, the one that will satisfy me, the one that will change me. And it's not age-related. It's not education-related, gender-related. It's a heart. And we are called to have a heart for him, a longing to see him in our lives, right? I like Isaiah 44 talking about what was going to happen, what was to come. In verse 3 it says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on my offspring. That's on us. God, come and pour your spirit on thirsty land, on dry ground. Father, give me a thirst for you. Help me see my need to be watered by you." Like, Jesus stood up publicly and shouted that invitation, but I believe right now he's here and he's calling to you, come and drink. Come and drink. And you have a choice to say yes or no. You can't argue like some did when he showed up before the people. But Jesus is a rock that gives water. Like, when we look at all that we have, when we look at life, we know the bottom of our hearts. If you've tasted and seen that the Lord is true, there's nothing like him. And we get caught, right? We get busy. And we miss out on this beautiful Savior and Jesus that wants to be real in our lives. In John chapter 12, verse 32, it says, Jesus is talking about his death, and he says, "But I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." That's the cross. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. I don't want to miss that. I want to see the cross transform me. Bring me to a place of yes, Lord, where I have a yes spirit to God, where I'm willing to let him move in me. You know, he's the real deal, I'm telling you. He's the real deal. I don't want you to miss him. I'm your pastor. I love you so much. I don't want you to miss him. I don't want you to pass by and to miss out on this rock where the water gush out for you so that you can have satisfaction, so that you can be able to fulfill your mandate and your calling. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6. And Jesus, it's at the end of the book. He said to me, "It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give him the drink. I will give him to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." I will give him to drink without cost. Like, the rock is flowing. The cross is that rock, making the Holy Spirit real and personal, you know? So I don't want to hear this morning and live without him tomorrow. Or I don't want to walk by and miss on him. I don't want to miss his amazing love. I don't want to miss his move. The truth is, I'm bankrupt without him. The truth is, I'm empty and dry without him. I can't even open my eyes. I need him to open my eyes. But there needs to be a stirring up of the Holy Spirit that says, "God, open my eyes that I might see you. And when I see you, things will change." Isaiah 55, verse 1 says, "Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." That's from the rock that is Jesus. "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what doesn't satisfy?" In other words, go beyond the physical. Listen, he says, "Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare." Look, he says in verse 3, "Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. God wants your soul to live. God wants your soul to prosper. It's when you drink, this is where everything changes. And we're constantly got to find ourselves at the stream. So I don't know where you are in this journey of life, but I know God is up to something. He wants to move in my life. He wants to move in your life. And he wants to open my eyes up. And my prayer is that in my heart and in our hearts, we would have a desire for God. Open my eyes to Jesus. Move me by your Spirit in a new way. Like maybe you're here this morning and you don't know him. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like him. He satisfies your inner person. And for those that have walked with him, you know the difference. We understand the psalmist when he says, one day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. Because it's nothing like his presence. It changes everything. We were made for him. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know him. Maybe you're dry this morning. Maybe you are distracted. Maybe you are caught in sin, discouragement, or whatever it might be. Say, God, open my eyes. I want to see Jesus in a fresh way. Maybe this morning you have to recommit your life to Jesus, where you say, God, I open up fully my life. Maybe this morning this message is only for you to make a decision, having this hunger for God to reveal himself to you. Well, you know, Jesus said, he said to his disciples, he said to the crowd, as evil as you are, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more, if you ask me the Holy Spirit, I will give it to you. See, so I want to be this one that says, yeah, Lord, I need your Spirit. I need you in my life. I need you to stir up my life with a new passion for Jesus. I don't want to find myself like the church of Ephesus, where they're busy, but they lost their first love. And the last thing I want to be, or the last thing that we want to be as a church, is Jesus knocking outside, wanting to come in. Amen. So I would ask you to stand. Lord God, I just pray that by your Spirit this morning, that something real would happen in our hearts, that not an emotional high, not something that is born in the flesh, but that you would put in our hearts a desperation for you, a desperation for your word, a desperation for your presence, a desperation to see you, God, a persistence in our hearts to say, God, I see you, God. I want you in my life. Create in us a hunger for you, a hunger for your ways, Father. I just pray by your Spirit this morning that you would stir our hearts up in a new way, that you would, by your Spirit, move us to a place of devotion to Jesus, a place of surrender to Jesus, a place of obedience to Jesus, a place where Jesus is important in my life, that he's the one I follow, he's the one that I seek, he's the one that I long for. Father, I pray that by the move of the Spirit, that Jesus would be glorified in our lives. I just pray for your supernatural work, the work of your Holy Spirit. So I say yes to your Spirit this morning, Lord. I say yes to the move of your Spirit, to the conviction of your Spirit, that you would have your way in me, that I would leave here with a freshness of you, God, and a hunger for your presence, and a desire to see Jesus be real. So, Father, open my eyes by your Spirit to your Son, Jesus, so I can be devoted to him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.